and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What does it look like for a person to thrive and fully live right here where God has placed them? Russell Kimura has sensed God's call to live his life to do that. Serving the Lord, helping others to experience just that. He joins us today with a heart to share what God has done in and through him. We pause for a moment at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. For you to know God's love. I mean, to know God's love in spite of whatever you might be facing right now, however far away from God you might feel, whatever you might have done, wherever you may have been, there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart of Russell Kimura, is here reaching out to you, dear one. Will you open your heart to Christ? Will you respond to him? Will you receive his love and his grace? Russell Kimura was born and raised in Kaneohe. He's married to Sarah. They have 3 children, Ava Joy, Lily Grace, and Belle Faith. Russell worked in a local business with credit card processing and is an energy consultant, helping homeowners live more efficiently through solar solutions. Russell, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me, Danny.
Russ, where did you grow up? I know I mentioned Kaneohe, but take us further.
Yeah, I grew up in Kaneohe, on the windward side, God's country. It's beautiful, a little rainy, but very green, and just all I knew growing up is beautiful on Kaneohe.
Well, certainly green, Lani.
Yes.
Now, who inspired you most in your growing up years?
Without a doubt, it's got to be my parents. You know, they set a foundation for me growing up of what it looked like to understand who God was. You know, from a young age, they took me to church. Even if I didn't want to, or I fought it, I thought it was silly, or I didn't understand why they were taking me. They were pretty steadfast in saying, hey, we're going to go, and we're gonna be a part of church and understand that. And as I grew, they influenced me in understanding how to really love people and really how to give to people. If you met them, they are the most loving, giving people that you could meet. And just being able to see their life throughout the years. I mean, they established me in the Lord early on, but really their influence was more so the way they lived and the way that they loved people really impacted me today.
Take us a little bit further. Maybe a few examples of what it was like to grow up in the Kimura home. I mean, I hear glowing things from a dear friend named Lani Ka'a, who knows your mother and father.
Yes, anyone who knows my family will know that my mom, who's just shy of five feet, she's probably 4'11" on a good day, but she's a full ball of energy, and she just loves to give and give and give. You know, for years of her life, she was a teacher at Castle High School teaching pregnant teens, and you see that as a class, but really that was her ministry and her way to love these girls who maybe made a poor choice and are facing the consequences, and yet that didn't stop her from loving them unconditionally. And my sister and I were recipients of that unconditional love all throughout our childhood, growing up, and the different things that she taught us. She was very present. I recall her reading books with us, you know, all through growing up before bed, or perhaps it was joining when we were part of leadership camps and different things. She was always a counselor, so she could be there and be a part of that. We would host it at our house so that all the leaders would prepare for this camp we would do for young kids. And my dad, I remember, he was the silent but always supportive, influence in our life as well, because we would have sports and he would have all of our stuff ready on that Saturday. And then if it was a messy game, he would clean our shoes and our uniforms and get everything all ready for the next day or the next game. And you just had this teamwork between the two of them that my sister and I, we came from very modest means, but we never felt that there was any lack in any way financially, but for sure relationally. We always felt full. We always felt supported. We always felt loved. And out of that, we were able to thrive. And I think that that's the environment that we were blessed to grow up in.
Mm-hmm. You know, I do. I remember you as a young man and growing up in the church and us doing life together with your parents. And it always amazed me in your household or in ministry when we talked about leadership. There was never a doubt that Russell Kimura was going to be a leader of whatever was happening among your age and your peers. You always rose up to the leadership level, and I really credit your mom for and your dad for being that example to you. Mm-hmm. As a young high schooler, even, what were some of the leadership roles that you were able to embrace and be a part of?
Well, you know, the funny thing is people have always seen me as a leader for the most part. Mm-hmm. But there was a moment that I remember in elementary school. It was in fourth grade, going into fifth grade, where I wanted to run for a position. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, representative for the class or whatnot. And there was only one position, and there's about five or six people that were signing up. And my mom had done student government before, so I was like, I'm going to run for this position, and I'm going to try to be in student government for the first time. And so I put my name in, and at the time, there were just so many people that were, trying to run. They brought me on the side and said, hey, you know, You're a great kid, but you're a little shy. Maybe this isn't for you. And so they basically didn't allow me to run, and they just picked other kids to run for that one position. Mm. I remember coming home and feeling pretty devastated, obviously, because I wanted to try. And my parents just constantly believed in me, no matter what it was. Mm. And so it wasn't a matter of like, well, maybe that's not your lane, try something else. There was always a constant belief in what I could do or what God could do through me. And so there was that constant encouragement. And so coming back the next year, it didn't make a lot of sense, but I said, I'm going to go run for president now. And I think that was stemmed from my parents' belief in me, saying that, you know, you can do anything. You go for it. Mm-hmm. And that just has carried out through my life. And so I ran for president of, Heia Elementary School, and I won. And so from there, I've kind of been president of King Intermediate and my freshman class, sophomore class, and Castle High School student body president, all that kind of stuff. So people think, oh, you've always been in leadership. Mm-hmm. But there was that moment where it didn't quite happen for me, but I do trace it back to my parents' belief in me, their mm-hmm. love. I mean, it was a tough time, obviously, not being chosen, and obviously you want to be chosen. But that encouragement to keep going mm-hmm. is sometimes forgotten, and people just think, oh, you're just naturally mm-hmm. a leader and naturally born into it. But reflecting back on it, it didn't actually happen as seamlessly as some might think.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that exactly how God works, mm-hmm. right? He gives us those opportunities for growth mm-hmm. Through defeat,
sure.
Seeming defeat.
Yeah.
And how important it was that your mom and dad were there to carry you through that time mm-hmm. and not join in with the rest of the choir that said you couldn't do
sure.
it, but instead saying, you know, listen to the Lord, follow who he made you,
right.
Identify with who he believes you are mm-hmm. and not what the world says you are.
Yeah.
And so praise God for them for,
yeah.
for just really stepping out. You did grow up in a Christian home
mm-hmm.
and, but was there a moment, was there a time that you can reflect on that you actually said to yourself, Jesus is my personal friend. I accept him personally, and we are going to be in relationship, he and I, one-on-one forever.
Yeah, I think conversion or understanding a coming to Jesus moment is so powerful. And I can't necessarily pinpoint a specific day necessarily. I do recall growing up in the youth group at Hope Chapel, Kaneohe, and being a part of that with Mike Kai and going to camps and different things. And just through that journey, I remember just desiring to want to know Jesus, to want to walk with him, to follow him, to understand what that meant for my life, because I saw all these leaders in front of me and saw their lives, and I thought, man, if this God is real, I want to know him. And mm-hmm. so I would say somewhere within my high school years, I really started to, and then my leadership just flowed from there. I wanted to be a leader at the youth group. I wanted to help where I could, because, you know, anywhere I went, I figured God would place me in some place to influence and help people. Mm-hmm. And so I grew from there. But, looking back, then I went to college in Whitworth, at Whitworth College in Spokane, and my faith really grew there. Mm-hmm. As I engaged God more, I did, devotionals morning and night, and studied God's word as schoolwork, and got a degree in theology. And as I continued to journey, I feel like all through that, I kept coming back to Jesus. I kept almost like I'm reengaging again, and like, oh my gosh, I thought I knew Jesus, but now I know him more as my Savior. Now, once I'm married and I figure out that I actually am a sinner, because maybe before I thought I was a good person, even though I clearly wasn't, I thought I was good enough. And when I got married and I was faced to look at my selfishness and look at my pride and all of that stuff that comes out when you're face-to-face in marriage, I realized, man, I really do need a Savior. I really do need Jesus to because I can't do this on my own. And maybe perhaps leading up to that point, I had somewhat thought I could do it on my own. Mm-hmm. And so, there's moments where I'll say, yeah, I committed my life to the Lord maybe back when I was a young boy in high school or junior high. But all along the way, I feel like God kept calling me, kept calling my heart to say, look, you think you understand, but you don't understand your sin. You don't understand how much you need me. And I think that's always the journey. Even to this day, I find myself figuring out, man, I rely too much on myself, and I do need a Savior every single day. I do need to fall back and realize my life is not the way it is because of me. My life is the way it is because of Jesus and who he has been and will be in my life. And so I know it's not a conversion where it's July 14th, to right. 19, right. back in the 1900s. But it was more for me a journey. Mm. And I continue on that journey as God continues, because God is so big. Mm-hmm. And for us to think that we understand him in a moment, and we've, of course I committed to him back then for sure. But that commitment has continued to grow throughout the years as well. And my understanding and my love and my relationship, just like any relationship grows, I found it so fulfilling to continue to grow with Jesus over these years.
Yeah. So good. You hear that story over and over, that the more you know him, the more you know how much of a sinner you are. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a break real quick, but really just want to talk about how that relationship with Jesus has changed your life. What were some of the amazing miracles that really enlightened you to the fact that, I'm not who I am except for the grace of God? Because I know you have experienced that. Mm-hmm. I have experienced that. And our listeners today, they have experienced that too. And let's remind the world that by God's grace, we can live a life much greater than we had ever hoped or imagined. Please stay with us. We're with Russell Kimura. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 888-484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
We are back in studio with Russell Kimura, having a great conversation of an old family friend. Russell is a young man I had the privilege of watching grow in the Lord, grow in leadership, really change the world with so many of his great ministry work that he did at various churches in his school, in his environment. And before the break, we were talking about how Jesus has really shown himself strong. And in light of that, we begin to see how little we are, how big he is. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to kind of press into that. Give us a time when you just felt the hand of the Lord. Without him, things would just not be the same.
Yeah, I think when I look at my life, obviously it would not be the same without Jesus. And I think in the hearts of everyone, all of us, whether you're listening or you've felt this in your heart, I think that we all long for something more. Mm-hmm. And God's word talks about he's placed eternity in the hearts of men. And I think that's that longing for to be in relationship with Jesus, ultimately eternity, being with him forever. And I'm trying to think of an exact moment where this happened, but I know along the course of my life, there's been times, many times, where I've come to the end of myself, and I think many people come to the end of theirself, and maybe you're there right now, but we find like, I just can't do it on my own. Mm. I've tried, or maybe it was that I did do it on my own, and I achieved everything I wanted to, and it still felt empty. Mm. And I realized, man, there's something more. I'm missing something. Mm. And accomplishments seem shallow or hollow at the end of the day. Going after whatever it might be just seemed like there was something missing. And it wasn't until Jesus really came into my life and I began to walk with him and partner with him and have him as the rock of my life, that it all made sense, that it was all fulfilling. And not to say that my life is completely fulfilled, but life with and without Jesus is completely different. And I think we all long and grasp and try for whatever we think is going to fulfill us, you know. And for me, early on, that was achievement. Oh, if I can just be, I can achieve this and be this, you know, student government, or achieve this in sports, or achieve this grade, or be this person, then I will be fulfilled. And I realized, like, all of that stuff, as much as I started to accomplish, was empty because I was striving after something that wasn't Jesus, that mm-hmm. wasn't eternal. And so as I continued to strive and do different things, it wasn't until I really grabbed a hold of Jesus as my rock and my foundation and my identity, because basically what it is I think I was trying to find my identity in sports, you know, being a captain of the team of soccer or whatever, or performing at a certain level with what academics or student government. You know, I was in like five different clubs in school, and I was doing sports and I was doing study and government. I mean, I was the all around doing everything. Mm. But I think what I was trying to do was to build myself up to feel good enough. Mm. And then I realized, you know, I could do everything perfectly and still not be good enough. Mm. And so it became empty, and it became like you're just striving. And so some of us here, we just strive and strive and strive. Yeah. And we can't feel that rest. And the only time that I finally found rest was when I found Jesus. And yeah. I was like, you know what? It's not that I don't try and I don't strive to be my best. In fact, I'm better because of it. But when I find my identity and my foundation in Jesus, it changes things. Sure. And all of a sudden, I'm no longer trying to go after all these things to the end of becoming, you know, whatever that identity mm-hmm. is. But my identity is in Christ, and everything mm-hmm. else is gravy, and it helps me perform better. It helps me be better in whatever I am. And so I think, you know, when we look at our lives, when we try to go after all these things to fulfill something deep mm-hmm. down that can only be fulfilled with Jesus, mm-hmm. we'll continually find ourselves going, and whether we accomplish it or don't accomplish it, we're going to find ourselves empty and striving for more. And right. so that's what I found. And I continue to work through that every day, because I find myself striving after things to fulfill an identity, which I know, hey, I've learned this. Jesus is my identity. And that's where I realize I need a Savior. I need Jesus mm-hmm. to continually remind me that He is my source and my rock and my foundation. And it is in Him that I find my true salvation and my foundation and purpose in life. Mm-hmm. And so that's really driven me over the years. Mm-hmm. But I can trace back many, many different times where I thought, if I just had this or I accomplished this, and I realized He course corrected me, because He loves me so much. Mm-hmm. And He wants me to come back and say, no, I love you so much that because if you had that, you might forget me. Or if you mm-hmm. accomplished that, or you mm-hmm. found this way, you might not fulfill the purpose that I have for you. And mm-hmm. so I've learned that even if I think it's one way, mm-hmm. I'm okay if it's not, because I know Jesus has a plan for me, and it's far better than I ever thought it was.
Mm-hmm. So good. You know, I hear in your words the scriptures of Solomon, you know, wisest man, had everything he could ever ask for. And always these words run through my mind: meaningless, meaningless, mm-hmm. a chasing after the wind, yeah. right? Meaningless, meaningless. And it's not to say they weren't important, because mm-hmm. they shape your character. And yet, what do we truly idolize above it all? Mm-hmm. And you have learned, you know, the value and the priority of Jesus over and above any achievement we could ever grapple after or mm-hmm. go after. And you have many. I mean, you have a degree in theology. You're an accomplished minister of the word. You've led many, but yet even you are sitting here saying there's nothing more important than Jesus. Whether you're as accomplished or as not, everything falls back on our relationship, right? And our desire to know mm-hmm. Him first and foremost every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't realize that you had a theology degree. Mm-hmm. And you know, having known you growing up, I just assumed that you would have taken on a pastorship, and your process and your road would be in ministry in the church. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't happened at this point. Mm-hmm. What was the turn for you, and where did God take you?
Yeah, again, I think when we look back at our plans for our lives, mm. and we can map it out however we think it should be, or mm-hmm. we hope it to be, and God will direct how He will. I started out at Hope Chapel Kaneohe as a college pastor for a couple of years, learning what that looked like to be in full-time ministry, just fresh out of college, and I didn't really understand what it looked like to be on full-time staff as your job. And God, you know, transitioned me out of that into the marketplace, and you know, as a man, as a, you know, a achiever, it was hard to feel like, man, my first job out of college seemingly was a failure. Not mm. to mention it was, quote, in ministry. Not failure in the sense where anything bad happened. It just didn't, it wasn't a good fit. It didn't work out. And so, you know, and I went to school for this, and man, it seems like, you know, everything was lining up to be, like you said, a minister for life in the church. And then as I made my way into the marketplace, and I worked in outside sales, doing credit card processing, and worked with a great team of guys we built out here with Gravity Payments, God began to show me that, quote, ministry doesn't necessarily always happen within the four walls of a church. In fact, God says we are the church. And mm-hmm. so I started to begin to understand, you know what? Even though I don't have the title, quote, pastor, it doesn't matter. If I love Jesus mm-hmm. and I recognize the utmost importance of Jesus being in everyone's life who's around me, I'm not going to be silent about that. I'm going to live a life in a way that they understand that, and I'm going to be bold in some of the ways. And so through my, you know, 11, 12 years at Gravity Payments, I viewed myself, I didn't self-proclaim myself to the team, but I viewed myself as, quote, the pastor of that team. Mm. And I was able to see salvations happen. Mm. I baptized a couple of my coworkers. I brought them to the Lord. And then I got to marry, because I still had my license, I got to do weddings for three of my coworkers through that time. And so it's funny because, you know, you think, oh, that's just that stuff that happens within the church. But I thought, no, God's kind of placed me within this business sphere. But that doesn't change who God says we are and what we're called to do. And so mm-hmm. I feel like my calling is wherever I'm at, whether that's in the four walls of the church or whether it's in a business, in a marketplace, wherever he has us. And so though it looked different than maybe I thought, like I'm going to get my theology degree and then go into the church and pastor a church and do all this kind of stuff, it became this, wow, you know what? God has so much more than we could ever plan. And in fact, I you know, maybe or maybe not, those people that I was able to lead to the Lord and baptize mm-hmm. may or may not have, quote, stepped into a church. Mm-hmm. But because I was there and I was a coworker and I wasn't pastor, I was just Russell. I was just sales, you know, guy. They, you know, but they knew my background, knew my faith. Mm-hmm. Like someone said, hey, just if you have anything, go talk to them. And they would talk to me. And as we shared life, they understand I need Jesus. And mm-hmm. It was just God drawing them. And so I feel like no matter where we're at, just because I have a theology degree doesn't mean that that's why I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. I feel like no matter where we're at as Christians, we're called to live that way as ministers of the gospel wherever we're at. Mm. And people are actually in your workplaces longing for that, and we just got to step into it. Yeah. And so I've seen that over the years, and it's been really exciting, and it's been a journey for me to be able to, you know, even initially feeling disappointed, like, man, I'm not at the church as a full-time minister, which could seem like a disappointment or a failure. What God had for me in store was far greater than I could have imagined.
Yeah, when God changes the narrative, mm-hmm. you know, we write the narrative of our life. And maybe there's a listener out there, maybe many, who are in the midst of that, who mm-hmm. are who had a plan and really thought it was God's purpose, really, truly mm-hmm. prayed, knew, felt, and yet God has opened a different door. Mm-hmm. When we come back, I want to kind of explore that. Yeah. Talk to you about how do you transition? How do you gracefully, with God's help, transition from one thing that you thought was your purpose for him to a whole new life, really not knowing, right, mm-hmm. what he's calling you to?
Sure.
Because everything you thought you knew, you don't know anymore. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How do you do that? And how do you glorify God in the midst of that? Mm-hmm. Russell Kimura here, a man of God, a wonderful young man and leader in the marketplace in ministry. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, this is Lani Ka'a'a in studio for Danny Yamashiro, and Russell Kimura is here joining us. We have had a wonderful conversation, a testimony truly of a life, born and raised a Christian young man, born and raised a leader, gifted spiritually and otherwise, a communicator, just with a heart to serve. Somebody so open as well to learn from Jesus in every step of the way, not be too comfortable or content to not be open to more of God and more of God. And in the last segment, we were talking about when God pivots you in a way that really messes up all your plans. And you know, someone in our listening audience, many maybe, are really in that moment. Mm-hmm. I know I've been there mm-hmm. a handful of times at this point in my life. What are your words of encouragement to somebody in that pivotal transition question?
Yeah, we many times have mapped out what things are going to look like in our heads. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we come up with our own plans of mm-hmm. and we think this is it. You know, I have it all mapped out. And maybe that's part of a sense of security we find in that. Like mm-hmm. we think, oh, you know, or whatever what the reason is, we do that in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I'll give a short story of how that worked out for me early on when I was in college or when I was going up to Whitworth. I met with a soccer coach, and he had already, you know, offered scholarships. Well, not scholarships. He had offered, you know, different positions to some players. But he said, hey, you can walk on. And I had... you know, I played soccer all my life and mm-hmm. had been pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. I actually was, I think I was able to make some all-star teams within like the OIA and mm-hmm. different things. So I was like, I'm not bad. So I went up there and I was telling people, I'm going to go play soccer at Whitworth, you know, and this and that. And I walked on, tried out. And then, you know, halfway into the tryouts, he asked me to walk off. And I got cut for the first time in my life.
Oh!
And, you know, and I had this whole plan. I'm going to go up to Whitworth. I'm going to play soccer. It's going to look like this. And now all of a sudden I'm up school early because it was one of the early sports. Mm. And no students are on campus. I'm by myself. I'm like, what am I going to do now? And it was this, you know, it was like... You know, it's a little devastating. Like, man, I mm-hmm. thought I was going to be a soccer player sure. and I was going to do this. And you have it all planned out. And so many times in lives, we think that we have it's going to look like this, or it's this person, or it's this job, or it's this school, or whatever the plans we think we have. Mm. But that scripture rings true that God says he knows the plans that he has for us, and they're plans for good and plans to prosper us, not to harm us. And so the story goes, I had factored in one credit for soccer because they give you a credit if you play soccer. So I'm short a credit. So I go to this little, thing before school starts, and they have all these different electives that you can, you know, pick up. And so I walked up, and there's this one guy dressed in, I remember clearly, he's dressed in all white, real dynamic. He's like, hey, you know, you should try out this Young Life thing. I was like, what is Young Life? And he kind of explained it to me. And I was like, oh, it's leadership, it's ministry. That sounds like, and I had one credit to fill. So I was like, but had I made the team, I wouldn't have found it. So anyway, I signed up for this class. And when you look back at my college experience, everything was surrounded by Young Life in terms of like some of the my best man and like three of the other guys at my wedding were from Young Life.
Wow.
I met numerous people. There's a young man named True that I led to the Lord in Spokane, and now he's here in Hawaii, and we're partnering in ministry together and loving his family. And it's been, I got to marry him. I mean, there's, when you look back, all of that, you know, I guess wouldn't have happened had I made the team, right, in my plans. And so I would say as encouragement to anyone who's listening who feels like your plans are falling apart, that it's not how you thought it was going to be, and you're sorely disappointed and you think, how could anything work out? Take hope that God has an even better plan for you. As we trust God, it's actually better than you could have ever imagined. And so when, you know, the way that I deal with pivots is I've learned to say, well, you know what, God, I hold this loosely. I have a plan, but I hold this loosely, because if I hold on to it too tightly, I'm going to lose it anyway.
Yeah.
And so my plan to be in ministry was one plan, but God had another direction for me. And so as I've been able to step into that, I realized, no, that, and I've had opportunities to, you know, go back into, quote, ministry.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I just don't think that's where I'm supposed to be anymore, at least at this standpoint, because I realized the quote, call that God has for all of us, whether you're a minister or not, quote, minister, pastor, we're all called to love those within our spheres of influence. And so I really feel, and then part of me, that burden that I have is to encourage, if you are listening and you are a Christian, but you view your Christian life as, I go to work and I'm a good, solid, honest Christian worker, and then I attend church on Sunday and that is my Christian duty. God is calling you to be the pastor of wherever you're at, whether that's with your, if you lead a team, if you're a CEO or you're a worker, no matter where you're at, God will allow you to have the influence to lead people to the most important decision that they could ever make. And that's to give their life to Jesus. And so for me, that's one of my passions, you know, working with Mike Kai at Inspire. We're starting up an influencer network. And the idea behind this is to gather influencers throughout the marketplace, whether you're a business owner, a military leader, a community leader. And what we want to do is equip and inspire and help people, these influencers, really take seriously the call, just as equally as important as the call that Pastor Mike Kai at Inspire, as he leads a congregation, is equally important to someone who's leading an organization as a CEO to be called to lead their organization and lead people to Christ there. I believe that this network can really help encourage and spur people on to take the call seriously, that a marketplace minister is equally important as a pulpit minister in the church. And so as we, I believe that God called all of us to step into that. And maybe you felt at times that you were called to the ministry, but God's placed you in the marketplace. He's placed you there to be in the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get those things mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. You know, I hear, we've talked about this with other, you know, over the days of our interviews, and it seems bubbling up this idea that the church cannot be in the four walls anymore, that the influence of the church is dying in our communities. Mm-hmm. And unless we are courageous enough to live our lives boldly as Christians Monday through Saturday, we will see that our faith die, you know, the influence, I should say, of our faith die. And you talk about being a marketplace pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people want to do that. You know, they want to.
Sure.
They want to live for Christ Monday through Saturday. In practical ways, though, can you give some help to those that want to do life as you have done in your business? How do you do that daily? How do you minister in your office?
Yeah, I think it first and foremost starts with our relationship with Jesus. And that sounds very simplistic, but the reality is, as we engage who Jesus is, we realize, one, we can't do it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And two, there's people around us that need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so it's as simple as that, is that you recognize first and foremost your need for Jesus, and then you recognize there's a need around you for people to know Jesus. And mm-hmm. so if there's a need for that, and we're in the marketplace, we're doing our jobs, and there's a coworker who's struggling, maybe potentially going through a divorce, or someone who is, has lost a child, or whatever the case may be, there's a ton of people in our spheres of influence, in our circles, that are hurting, that are crying out, mm-hmm. that need a touch from Jesus, and you're there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so what I would say is, put your antennas up. You know, you don't have to go preach a 30-minute sermon in the lunchroom. In fact, I wouldn't necessarily encourage that. That might be looked frowned upon. You might get reprimanded, whatever the case may be. But all it takes is a simple, like, hey, it's, maybe someone just sharing some of their challenges they're going through. And, hey, can I pray for you? And sometimes we get into this mindset where, like, oh, we need to invite people to church. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good step, and I'm not saying not to do that. But what I do believe is God calls us, we are the church. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the only church they're going to experience is that 30-minute lunch break where you're sitting down and they're sharing their life, and you just say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I support you? Here's the book. Let's meet up again, and I just want to hear your story and see how I can support you, how my wife and I can love you. Mm-hmm. That's being Jesus to them. And all of a sudden they realize, man, there is something about this person that I'm missing, and that something is Jesus. And mm-hmm. so, it's not actually rocket science. It's just taking the initiative and being intentional wherever God has placed mm-hmm. us to say, this is the most important thing to me, which is my relationship with Jesus. Secondary to that is the people around me need to know this. And so without being overly preachy about it, you live your life in a way, and you're gonna see. It might be as simple as asking every single morning when you step out of your car, when you go into your workplace, whether you're the CEO or you're the janitor, whatever position you have, is saying, God, show me, open my eyes to the mm-hmm. opportunities that you have for me today, that I might love on those around me for your kingdom and for your glory. Because, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. And so part of our job, in fact, I think more than your job to make money, mm-hmm. your job is to bring the kingdom of God Amen. Into the place that you're mm-hmm. at. And I think if we say, hey, I'm an ambassador of Christ wherever I go, mm-hmm. and if every Christian in everyone attending church would just take that responsibility and say, hey, my Christian life or walk isn't just checking a box and going to church on mm-hmm. Sunday. In fact, it's to be an ambassador, to bring the kingdom into whatever sphere, whether it's school, military, business, whatever area we're in, government. Mm-hmm. If we all took that seriously, can you imagine mm-hmm. the impact that it's going to have in Hawaii and mm-hmm. beyond mm-hmm. because we all took that seriously? Sure. And so I think if I could give any advice, it'd say, let's be kingdom builders. Let's bring the kingdom of God into where we're at. And it's as simple as, hey, can I pray for you? Mm-hmm. Can I love you? Can I bring you a meal? Mm-hmm. Can I support you? Because this is what Jesus would do.
Thank you. The simplicity mm-hmm. of what it takes. You've used our minister in the marketplace, pastor in the market. People fear those mm-hmm. words, but it's really so simple.
Yeah.
And it's really just caring more about them than what they think, really. And being able to pass the concern and have courage to offer Jesus. Mm-hmm. In a way that you are offered Jesus, because somebody brought me to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me about Jesus. And if they hadn't, where would I be today? Mm-hmm. So, taking that simple step, and you have done so, and you are encouraging many of our listeners to do that, to take their focus off themselves and the concern of their life, and to focus on their coworkers and the people that they can touch. Mm-hmm. 5 days a week, six mm-hmm. days a week.
Yes.
They're with them more than they're with their family sometimes. So they're their family, right? Mm-hmm. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about your family mm-hmm. and what's happening in your family. And then I want to hear a little bit more about the Influencers Network. I'm sure there's someone out there who wants to get involved.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it when we come back. Russell Kimura, stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky,
leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here for Danny Yamashiro. I'm in studio with Russell Kimura. So good to have you here. Again, I've known his parents, Randy and Karen Kimura, most of our growing up years, certainly when I was young and dumb and a new mom, and she was a woman that mentored me in motherhood. My kids are blessed because of your mom. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's just the beauty of living faith together, living in small groups, mm-hmm. connecting, sharing. I can't even tell you, Russell, how much your mom's life has touched mine, as I know it's yes. touched yours. But I have to say thank you. And my questions now are really about your family. Mm-hmm. You got married. Mm-hmm. You have three daughters, which I'm just loving because I'm sure your mom is just mm-hmm. crazy mad yeah. in love with mm-hmm. them. But, you know, I always feel like God gives us the opportunity when we raise our kids so that our kids can start somewhere further in their faith than mm-hmm. we ever did. Mm-hmm. And that they might raise their kids further in faith than we ever got. Mm-hmm. And we would see the blessing and the fruit of that. And so in your life as a father raising daughters, mm-hmm. what has your life, has your parents and growing up taught you as a basis? And what are you doing to honor that, to grow your daughter's faith in the Lord?
Yeah. Well, I 100% agree that I'm here because of, you know, the upbringing and the love and support that my parents have given me over the years. And mm-hmm. they actually have said this, that, you know, their ceiling is our floor.
Mm-hmm.
And they truly believe that. And we've, my sister and I have reaped the benefits of that completely. And we want to pass that on to the next generation for our girls as well. And it's very unique to have three girls. But I want to give a shout out to my wife, honey. She's so amazing. So She is a trained RN, a registered nurse, very, very talented, gifted, smart. But she felt like God called her to homeschool our girls.
Wow.
And the idea behind homeschooling wasn't to shelter them or to protect them from the outside world or the public or private school environment. That wasn't the intent or the goal. But it basically was, you know, taking some of the principles of my mom just and my dad being present in our lives growing up. Even if we didn't have a whole lot, we felt like we had everything because they were there. And so regardless of how much we have or we don't have, if we can be there for our girls and let them know that we love them, that Jesus loves them, and that that God has a purpose for their life, that would be enough. And so God's, you know, allowed us for my wife to be staying at home with our girls ever since Ava was born.
Wow.
And it was a stretch at times. It wasn't always easy financially. And we just made the leap of faith to trust God. And God's always provided for us. Because that was a desire of my wife's heart. And she remembers telling me this early on when we were married. I don't remember this, but she said, I want to stay at home when we have kids. And maybe at the time, because I think I was working at the church and probably making $10 an hour, I was like, I didn't even think that was possible. So I just wrote it off like that. Well, that's never going to, you're the nurse, you're going to pay for my ministry. So that's not going to happen. But in deep down in her heart, that was a desire of hers. I think God had planted that in her. And then I transitioned to the marketplace and somehow, you know, by God's grace and favor and provision, she's been able to stay home with them. And so the relationship that we have with our girls is so important to us and so tight because she homeschools them. I mean, her job is 100 times more difficult than mine for sure. She, you know, takes the time to train them up and lead them and help them learn. And they're growing, going through a curriculum called My Father's World. And so some of the things they're learning about history and Rome, but they're also learning about Jesus and how he interacted in these times. And they some of their stuff, because you can do spelling and you can do paragraphs and reading through anything. And so some of it they're learning through the Word of God and their memory verses and different things like that. So it's really cool to see the girls interact in school at a young age with a biblical, I guess, worldview, if you will. And more importantly, just to be able to have a relationship and have a conversation about faith and about who God is and see it modeled in my wife for sure. She is an amazing woman of God and a minister in her own right as she continues to love, you know, our girls and do what we do. And so our family, I mean, Ava, and then we're also involved in a dance program called Prisma. Shout out to Miss Nicole Lamb. They put on an amazing, amazing dance program that's aimed at glorifying God. And so everything they do is aimed at glorifying God. And so through dance and through production, it's just been an amazing opportunity for them to grow in worship through dance and in a very high quality way. And so that they're heavily involved in that organization. And we're actually, Ava and I are headed out to Kenya in 2020 March to go on a dance missions trip to teach the people about God's love through dance. And so I'm sure they're going to try to rope me into dance somehow in Kenya. But, you know, being able to be a part of some of the programs that the girls are in and be in their lives and be around has been a blessing. And we do definitely do make it a priority to be available. Because in our opinion, you know, this is it's a very tough world that we're raising our daughters in. Yeah. And we know we're not going to shelter them or try to shelter them from the world. They're going to have to interact. But as long as we have the relationship and that conversation and the support and then I know they can come to us. And so it's been a journey. We're not perfect parents by any means, but we do have a thriving relationship. And that, in my opinion, is a strong testament to my wife and how she's loved and taken care of them.
Well, I just love that you partner so well. Mm-hmm. You know, God calls us together to be one, and yet we have roles. And they're real, and they're lived out so beautifully in your life. And I think a lot of that is just the example that your parents always gave to you. I love that you are embracing change, right? You pivot. Now she wants to stay home, Lord. I can relate. I did that to my husband. It was like, what? But we pivot and we make it work. And God makes it work, really, mm-hmm. because our hearts are toward him and his desires for our kids, because mm-hmm. they're really his kids. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they're his kids. Mm-hmm. Russell, it has been amazing spending time with you, just because I've known you for so long and seeing the growth in your life. And I want to ask if you would just say a quick prayer. Mm-hmm. We don't have much time, mm-hmm. but just say a quick prayer for the listeners out there that they might be encouraged by your word.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together, and I pray for the listeners out there who are struggling. Maybe it is their hopes and dreams haven't been what they hoped it would be. Maybe it's taken a course that they didn't see coming, and it feels like their world's falling apart. Lord, I pray for peace, Lord, that they would find their comfort and their salvation and their rock and a foundation in you, Jesus Christ. And I pray for every Christian out there who's listening, who feels like maybe they can't be a part of a church staff, but they could be empowered to live in their marketplace and fulfill the call that God has on their life. Lord, I pray that mm-hmm. each and every Christian listening would take that call seriously, and we would see the marketplace transform for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. And for all the families out there, Lord, who feel like they're drowning and they're just trying to keep things afloat, may you, in your great mercy and provision, allow them to thrive, allow them to recognize that they can do less and have more as they trust you and as they put you as a priority, because you do say, seek first the kingdom and of any righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I pray, God, that you would help all the people who are listening to know that you are the answer, that you are the reason that we are able to thrive and live here on this earth until we come face to face with you. So in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Compelling words from Russell Kimura. God's timing is truly perfect. Your being here is perfect. Mm-hmm. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you, my friends. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to accept him into your life. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com, click on Get to Know Jesus, and know more about who he is. If you'd like to help us with your financial support, make a donation, your prayers, we would appreciate it. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click on Partners. Psalm 92:12 says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you so much, Russell Kimura. Until next time, along with our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, I'm Lonnie Ka'a'a, here for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purposes today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.